I hope the crowd is cheering loudly for him, win or loss, as this game ends on Sunday. And I do hope that Belichick gives a wave at least. Now, I would love for Belichick to go Hulk Hogan on us and have a take his hoodie off and rip the shirt apart in the PA playing dan, 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 not Hollywood Hogan. Dan, 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 and Belichick doing one of these. But I don't think that's going to happen. A wave would be cool. Fight for your life.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
From the mouth breathers to the idiots, from TV to print, this is the Entitled Podcast Network, and this is Entitled Weekend.
Welcome to Entitled Weekend. It's the final Entitled Weekend for the 2023 NFL season for the Patriots. And it's an emotional one in many ways. But I got Vinny and I got Rob here. It's been a hell of a week, guys. I mean, that's to say the least. The media has just been an absolute shit show, as was said on the mothership earlier in the week. I want to go backwards before we talk about what the future is, because the future is still relatively unknown. Although we're doing this at 7 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday after the Patriots lost to the Jets, and we do pretty much know a few of the discussion points that have been happening. But I want to go back to a couple of days ago, and a lot of these clips are coming from the last few days. But before I do that, Rob, I want to know from you, what did you expect out of this week? Because for me, obviously, I wanted the Patriots to win, because anytime you're playing the Jets, it's fuck the Jets. So I wanted the Patriots to win. That's number one. I didn't care about the draft. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted them to win. But what's come out of this week has just been an absolute madness. And to be honest with you, I'm ready to move on, not from Bill Belichick, but I'm just ready to move on from just the coverage, just everything. But unfortunately, that hasn't happened yet. So what did you want this week to come out of this week, Ron?
Well, I'm with you. I'm not wired to root for them to lose, even if, you know, I understand people who make that argument that, you know, the draft and this, that, and the other. I've never been able to bring myself to turn a Patriots game on and root for them to lose. I just can't do it. And the same thing for this week. I mean, I hate the Jets. I can't root for the Jets when they play anybody, certainly not the Patriots. So there was no way in hell I was going to root for the Patriots to lose, to say nothing of the fact that, you know, one of the things that I've really enjoyed watching over these last 8 weeks, and there haven't been a whole lot, is watching this defense really play and really, you know, bring it every week and every minute. And even at times, you know, certainly in that Buffalo game where you're sitting there watching them, and I sit there and I think to myself, at what point does this defense finally just throw their hands up in the air and be like, you know, I'm out, you know, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep, you know, watching these turnovers and running out on the field and, you know, being pinned up against my goal line on every other drive. And yet they still went out and did it. And they still went out and kept the Bills out of the end zone. And they played well today. They stopped them on 4th and 1. You know, they got the offense the ball back. Of course, they couldn't do anything with it. But, you know, that to me, and that's what I was rooting for. That's what I was enjoying seeing. And to me, if I'm Robert Kraft, that's all I need to see about bringing Bill Belichick back, is this team had no quit in them. You know, you watch the Commanders play, they quit. You watch the Chargers play, they quit. You know, this Patriots team just flat out won't quit. They didn't quit, certainly not on the defensive side of the ball. So if I was rooting for that to happen, because I am really firmly entrenched in the camp that they really need to bring Belichick back. And to me, the team playing the way they've played in terms of effort and in terms of no quit and fight and all that sort of stuff is the thing that I think the Crafts need to be looking at in terms of bringing Belichick back. So that's what I was looking for that. As far as the media goes, I mean, just when you think they can't get any lower, you know, just when you think they can't be any worse at their jobs, you know, we're dealing with a group of people who source themselves because they have no other sources. They use Albert Breer as sources. There's no sourcing, there's no accountability. So, you know, we know what we're going to get with them. There's no surprises there.
Vinny, it's really amazing what I've seen over the last week. It's been all encompassing from they want him fired to now, and we'll play this clip a little bit later, just today. Now Belichick should join the media. You know, now that he's going to be fired, it's all predetermined. He should join the media. What can you believe anymore?
I can't believe it anything anymore. I mean, I got the title for this episode for you. If you're interested in taking titles, take it or not. When it comes crashing down, does it hurt inside? I mean, I don't know if. But you can't trust anybody. That's the problem. And like, I would love a good, honest report on what went wrong. Because, hey, we're a bunch of Belichick bobos and honks and apologists. But you know what? There's things he did wrong that we own up to. But I don't think those are fireable offenses. And I think, you know, he made mistakes. But also, I don't believe he made I think this has been an abnormal offseason for him and an abnormal season. I do believe that the Crafts meddled a little more in how the team is made in past years. I do believe keeping Gerard Mayo and Mike on Route 1, I'm willing to believe him when he says I think Mayo was kept on as a person to, like, succeed him. In the upcoming year, I think him and Bedard and Karen Garigian are kind of, I think they're sources for each other. And it's just you don't get any good, honest reporting beyond that. You have to kind of play detective by yourself. But I will say one more other thing. I don't want to go on these rants. I don't know if there's a real football reason to fire Bill that, like, he had a bad 2 years. So what? Robert Saleh has had a bad 3 years. He's going to keep his job. Dan Campbell's had a bad few years. He just got to the playoffs. Teams have bad 2 years, and then they recover. I am going off the deep end when I say I think if Bill is fired, it would be more of a coup. I do believe the story should be not Bill's putrid last two seasons led him to be unemployed. I think it's the media worked like strong-armed a weak-willed owner into firing the greatest coach of all time. And now they have a coach who will smile and bloviate to them in the press and make their jobs easier. And, you know, I'm sure Gerard Mayo in real life is a nice guy, but and Mike Vrabel too, but it kind of makes me a little angry at them. Like, oh, it makes me look at them as a stooge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Gerard Mayo being a co-host on Tom Meekerran's Quick Slants show. Devin McCourty was on there too, and he handled himself a lot better now that he's a part of national media. Seems like he's not really making any headway in terms of negativeness.
Well, like Mayo is in the building, and I'm pretty sure he wants people on the inside that'll be friendly to him if he's the head coach. I think like the one thing Belichick in his 25 years that he didn't do correctly is he didn't employ a liaison. I don't think he has a guy in the press that'll be. I know. I'm advocating for propaganda, but for Christ's sake, if anyone needs it, it's Bill Belichick. He didn't get a mouthpiece for him to say, "Here's $20 and go defend me." And I think Mayo next, if Mayo's the coach, he'll have Greg Bedard, he'll have Karen Garigian, and maybe that's all he needs as the, when the walls cave in next year, he'll have them and that's enough. But maybe he'll have Volin too. I don't know. That's just me being conspiracy theorist.
Speaking of Bedard, this guy, I have two clips here from that podcast that nobody listens to. So that's how much, you know, work I do, listening to these terrible people go on about themselves. This was Bedard on his the podcast that nobody listens to, about Gerard Mayo responding to the report. It's not a report unless it's known as, unless it's made as a speculation, but it's speculation means that it's a report. It's all confusing. But here he is on his podcast talking about Gerard Mayo.
Just dealing with his comment about the timing, to me, I think it's perfect timing because he is now under the microscope if he intends to be the successor to Bill Belichick.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff that's out there, you know, doesn't get thrown out there unsolicited, right? Like, usually there's a reason why reporters are digging into something to see if there's a story there. And look, I think it's just obvious. You know, Belichick might be on his way out. There's a guy in the building that might be the successor. You ask questions to people that have worked with that guy who could be the successor. Do you like him? Do you not like him? How do you feel about him? As far as the way Mayo handled the questioning yesterday, Greg, I don't know if you agree. I would think you do. But I thought it really did draw a line. You know, that contrast between who Mayo is and who Belichick is.
100%. What I've reported is real. People can pretend that it's not. They can say whatever they want to say. I don't really care.
So there's a saying out there, if you're explaining, you're losing. So the fact that you have to say my reporting is real, that automatically plants doubt in the listeners' minds that it's not real. Right, Rob?
Well, I mean, you're talking about a guy who has a history of reporting things that aren't real. You know, exactly. Like this isn't the first time he's done this. This is a guy who, you know, his MO is that he just makes shit up. You know, he doesn't have any credibility. None of these guys on this beat have any credibility, except maybe Reese. None of them have sources. Yeah, and Jim McBride. But none of them have sources. They use each other. They make shit up. They attribute it to an anonymous source. And then the next guy comes along and uses that report to build off of, to create. So it's all built on this foundation of bullshit. And he's one of the worst offenders. So for him to sit there and act as though, you know, it's so offensive that somebody would question the validity of one of his reports. It's, you know, what sort of cosmic rabbit hole have we fallen through?
Vinny, I mean, but Bedard, I mean, he's known for being, like, he's always been truthful. I mean, you know, Christian Barmore, he's waiting in the wings, waiting for that report from Greg Bedard to come out so that, you know, he can pretty much leave and go start another career, because that's going to ruin him.
God, any other town, any other, like, media class would have had Bedard on the unemployment line for that, right? I'm not crazy. Like, if that happened in Philly, happened in New York, you're basically insinuating, no, you said, I have something that can ruin this man's life. And it turns out nothing. You have nothing. He was a saint for all we knew. He did nothing. It's like, you can come back. It's fine. Why? Why can't anyone in this stupid town get fired for being horrible? I mean, being bad at your job is one thing, but being maliciously bad, you're just a bad person. I don't know. I think Bedard is just, no, he's just a nothing. He's a blowhard, arrogant prick that is mad the Patriots didn't hire him. And God knows why it's only the Patriots that are in his ire. There's 31 other teams you could have worked for. You could have applied, you know, hey, you said that you couldn't scout Rob Gronkowski properly because you were working for the Packers at that time. That's how, because everyone's mad. Everyone pointed out that he didn't see it at all with him. It's like, why? Well, why didn't you just stay with the Packers? Why don't you go look for another job? Why did the Patriots have to hire you? It's just another one of these idiots, you know, another, what is there left to say? As a podcast no one listens to, he only has a job because where the Patriots have been for the last 25 years. He dances for Felger like a pathetic little loser. And if I know one thing, I know losers, and he's one of them. That's it. That's all I got.
It's unbelievable. And now there are customers, which is what they are, of BSJ, the Boston Sports Journal, who are complaining that Greg Bedard is charging them for canceling their subscriptions. I mean, if that doesn't scream Ponzi scheme, I don't know what does. Because, yeah, go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, well, what other revenue stream would he have if he didn't charge for canceled subscriptions? I mean, I don't know a single person that subscribes to that. Not one. And yeah. I mean, I'm surrounded by Patriots fans who are starving for content, absolutely starving for it. And not a single one of them. So who subscribes to him? So, of course, he's probably charging people who didn't even sign up if he can.
He hits me up in my emails like the Democratic Party hits me up for fundraising.
Yeah, I'm going to go check my bank account real quick and make sure he didn't somehow crazy. Hack.
I keep losing crazy. $50. I don't know what happened. Oh, this sweet Nigerian prince needs money. Oh, it's Greg Bedard. Never mind.
I mean, basically the same. I mean, they're the same, right?
I mean, I mean, it takes hard work to fake those emails to be a Nigerian prince. It's hard to pretend to be a Nigerian prince through an email. You know,
the Nigerian prince probably has more credibility.
He does. Exactly, right. I want to see
at least he'll tell you that he's fake. I don't know. But speaking of fake, Tommy Curran. Now, I've been promoting this interview for the last couple of times we've done a podcast, but I just have to play this interview. I listened to the entire thing. It was on Gresh and Fourier on the failing WEI owned by Odyssey that is going bankrupt. This interview was unbelievable. Listen to this clip of Tommy Curran and just the tap dancing that he does. There are three clips. I'm going to play all three of them in order. So listen to this.
You know what? There's I'm probably going to say it wrong, but and help me out with this, Gresh, because you don't think it true or false. You don't think that Bill has any, I don't know, value out there on the open market. Do I have that right? Do you think his value is significantly low?
I think it's very low because of the circumstances that he brings with him.
Which
he's
is
old.
Okay.
He's expensive.
Ooh. Okay.
He's set in his way, and he has presided over the last 5 years a disastrous crumbling, a precipitous drop, dotted by, hey, all these road signs say go right. I'm going to go left. So, again, if you're selling Lombardis, nobody's better able to represent that than Bill. If you're selling the promise of immediate success because of recent track record, nobody's buying that.
Yeah, there wasn't anything personal about that, right? He's old. He's undesirable. But of course, there's two stories this past week that have come out that said that other teams will let their coaches go if Bill Belichick is available as a free agent. It's unbelievable. And this last clip from Tommy Curran just says it all to me. And again, if you think it's not personal for these people, then you need to listen and open your ears to this, because it's personal. This is what they want. They're rooting for it, and they want you to think differently.
Go back, and I know you got to wrap it up, but are players going to embrace Bill Belichick, those 22-year-olds, and say, good, Bill's here? If they were 32, they might, not 22. Is the media going to be on board? Because it does matter to an extent what the conversation is around the hire. And how will Bill do in the press conference? Will he be a charming guy like he can be, or will he be Bill? So those are more reasons I look at it and say, yeah, somebody might hire him. But it's not going to be this absolute thirsty horde chasing the opportunity to hire Bill Belichick and all that he brings.
That'll be
again. It's all about the. It's all about what can he do for us? What can he do for the media? And after we talk about this, we're gonna talk about Curran now begging him to join his clan. It's almost unconscionable the steps that we have to follow. Rob, what did you think about that entire EEI mess?
I mean, that is just, you're right. I mean, that if you don't realize how personal it's become between the media and Bill Belichick, I don't know what to tell you. I'm with Vinny. I'm not going to sit here and defend every single move he's made over the last 5 years. But that being said, he's been here longer than 5 years. His track record goes longer than 5 years. He's taken over franchises that have been completely in ruins. The Cleveland Browns in 95, and had they not moved, he probably wins a Super Bowl with them. He takes over the Patriots when, you know, they're essentially rudderless, and he turns them into a 20-plus year dynasty. He tore that dynasty down twice and rebuilt it and won Super Bowls with it. This is his third attempt to do it. The third attempt didn't go as well. But that doesn't mean you discount the first two. That doesn't mean you only look at the last 3 or 4 years of what the guy's done. Clearly, he knows how to win. Clearly, he knows what a winning culture is like. He knows how to get this job, you know, and I think the Krafts have to understand that. They have to know that, you know, and I think the only way they just let him walk out the door, if that is what they're planning on doing, I'd be really surprised, to be honest with you, if they did. But would be if it got personal between the Krafts and Belichick. You know, I mean, every single person you see talk about him, when Parcells talks about him, he says the same thing. He's like, you know, he's not going to be your pal. You know, you're not going to go bowling with the guy. But the reason why people keep hiring him is because he knows how to win. And you can't really argue with that. You know, if somebody wants to just cherry pick this last, you know, attempt to rebuild the dynasty where, you know, I don't think he paid as much attention and did a good job with the offensive line, which I think is the biggest problem with this team. But you look at the defense that he's built. This defense is elite. This is a championship caliber defense. They don't need an offense that can come in, and they're not that far off.
And with competent quarterback, imagine what they could have done.
Right, right. Or just, I mean, they don't need 50 points a game. This is a team where if they score 20 or 24 points a game and bring this defense back, they're fine. They're absolutely fine and play special teams. And, you know, and yeah, they made some stupid, you know, the penalties cost them this, that, and the other. But by and large, you know, if you're going to boil the problems down to this team, it's just offensive incompetence on the offensive line. And then also, you know, obviously at the quarterback position. But how much of the quarterback position can be blamed on the offensive line? Who knows? But just to jettison Bill Belichick, because, you know, that's the other thing that drives me crazy. Is this NFL culture where when a team has a couple of bad years or a bad year, it's automatically fire the coach, and that will cure all your problems. I guarantee you, if the Patriots move on from Bill Belichick and they bring in the next member of the hair gel club who's going to be standing on the sideline with his Denny's menu calling plays instead of managing the game, that will set this franchise back for decades, absolute decades, which is exactly the kind of coach that Mike Giardi and Tom Curran and Phil Perry and all these other imbeciles want them to hire. They want them to go out and hire Ben Johnson or, you know, whoever, the next guy who fell out of the Sean McVay tree. That is to me, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
And to me, Rob, before you go, Vinny, that entire clip just says to me, like, yes, there are mistakes and missteps we can point to that Bill Belichick has made over the last 5 years. You know, the tight end position, the offensive lines, maybe a couple of years in. There are a lot of mistakes we could point to. But those three clips I played in succession were not about that. They were not about the on-field missteps that you can rightfully point to. They were all personal. They were all about, I don't like this guy. And I'm going to get my shots in because I smell blood in the water. That's what it was about. Go ahead, Vinny.
I do the same thing with basketball teams I don't like, but at least I'm honest. Like, yeah, I want to see the Milwaukee Bucks fail, so I'm going to start sit. But, you know, I'm honest. I'm not a fan of them to begin with, but it's not my job to cover it. I don't have a job in the media at all. But if I had a job, I wouldn't want to start sit just to be a jerk. I think... that's very telling where he said, are they going to be nice? Is he going to be nice to the media? Because I think it gives us a look into Tom Curran and how he views things a little bit. One, I think he thinks we made Belichick, we can break him. Look how we ran him out of town. And two, I think they think that the other media markets aren't just going to shrug when Bill grumbles through something. And I think they think that there's another Greg Bedard covering the Chargers who's going to want to, you know, be adversarial to Bill, as opposed to saying, like, we got the greatest coach of all time. Might as well ask him some questions and listen, as opposed to trying to ask for a pound of flesh. You know, I want to throw this guy under the bus, Bill. Throw this guy under the bus. Explain this, Bill. Explain this, Bill. As you know, and I think that's the problem with the media. It's not like, well, Bill, what did you see? It's never Bill. What did you see in Cole Strange? It's always, why did you take him? And da-da-da-da. It's never a healthy environment. It's always a rabid environment that's ready to go no matter what you do. And I think, you know, there are some mistakes along the way, but they're not, you know, enough to make me pull my hair out. They're just bets that didn't work out. Another thing Curran said is that, will the 22-year-olds respond well to Bill? You know, I know the Patriots roster right now ain't spring chickens, but Barmore's a young guy. Christian Gonzalez is a young guy. These are very young dudes, and they're responding very well to Bill. They're putting up fights. They're doing what you want them to do. And I think the fact that they never laid down and died for him. And I think, now here's another conspiracy. I think Curran waited on that report that he got after the Germany game for 3-4 weeks. One of the reasons, now this is just conspiracy theory for fun. It was like, well, maybe the Patriots will fold and that they'll be like a team limping to the finish line. There'll be no fight. And then that'll be more reason for Kraft to get rid of them. And it's like, instead, no, they fought. The defense never gave up, even as Zappi struggled. And they gave him an extra win or two. You know, they never quit. Jabril Peppers has no reason to play in this last game. And he's been awesome the whole year. Whatever leverage he has to make more money, he proved his point. He didn't have to play in this game. He played. David Andrews didn't have to play in this game. He's coming back. He played. Like, these guys, they love their coach. They'll fight for him. And how many coaches can you get? You didn't get that from Staley. You didn't get that from, you know, Josh McDaniels. So I don't know. I don't know what they're seeing. I'm seeing a coach that's not ready to be ridden out of town yet. But it's up to Kraft if he's going to acquiesce to the presser or not. That's about it.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I have a new segment now, and I'm going to let our AI Bill take over.
It's time to play the I Think game.
That's right. It's the I Think game. It's the game where we decide how many times Albert Breer is going to say I think. So what do we think? Over under, how many times is he going to say I think? Rob?
I'm going to go 4.
13.
wait. Oh, so you went way over 4. That's what you did, Vinny?
Yes. This is The Price is Right, right?
Right. It was supposed to be.
Oh, all right. That's it. Then I never watched that, so I don't know.
Okay. But I just want to set this clip up. It's pretty amazing. And thanks to our buddy Noel for this clip, our buddy Nolan. Albert Breer, I mean, we all know that he sits on his couch, but the times when he's not on his couch, he's on NBC Takes Boston. And when he's on NBC Takes Boston, and particularly he was on 98.5 with this clip, and basically it's a tour de force for Breer. I mean, it just goes with everything under the sun. So listen.
And I think that's part of the whole dynamic. But if you want to say, like, there's a Bill faction and a Gerard faction, that's what it is that, like, there's just people who are sort of, I think, lining up their futures, because that's the way it works when you've got a team that spent, what, half the season circling the drain and looking at the exit.
All right, so you know the staff pretty well.
Yeah.
Divide it then. Who do you think are the Mayo people?
Oh, I don't. That'd be tough to, like, go through it guy by guy. But, like, I think Gerard would definitely be open to keeping Bill O'Brien around as the offensive coordinator. I think, like, Gerard and Steve Belichick are actually really close, believe it or not. Like, that's real. Like, that's a very real relationship. That's not weird or awkward or anything else. Like, Gerard and Steve have a really good relationship, is my understanding. And I'm just, like, looking at the staff list now. You know, I think that there's a decent amount of guys who would go with Bill. Mike Pellegrino, I think, would go with Bill. Vinny Sinceri would go with Bill.
That's, you know, what I say.
So, like, I think that there are guys that are Bill loyalists that I think would say, okay, I don't know where Bill's going, but if it's the Chargers, or the like, I'm ready to go. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go with him. And then there are other people that aren't. You know, like, I think, like, Joe Judge would probably go with Bill. Like,
of course he would. Well, they're not having him back here.
I think.
I don't think he's going to be allowed back.
So you can kind of look down the list and make educated guesses on where each guy helped. What people.
Vinny, that was 10. I can't believe it. You were close.
We have a winner.
Woo! I never won anything close to anything in my life.
Wow. That's unbelievable. It's called a report. He's literally making shit up at the top of his head.
It's funny that, like, you know, when Zolak pressed him, I didn't see that video before, so I didn't count the I thinks, but I saw that before where I'm surprised that Albert Breer never didn't say to Zolak, "Zo, you know I'm full of shit. Don't ask me anything specific. I don't know. You think I know? You know, like, who's the Bill facts and who's the Gerard facts? And you're not supposed to ask me those goddamn questions." But I love how stupid Breer is. It's like, I think Bill's son would love to stab his father in the back.
Oh, you're doing it now.
It's contagious. It's like yawning. Well, okay, in my defense, I am not an NFL insider. I do not have the coach's ear. I do not fancy myself as anything of... I am not an educated man. I am a dumb man. Breer pretends he's...
Neither is Breer.
Oh, right. Yeah, but Breer... Exactly. But Breer has a fake job. You have the coach's ear.
I mean, in all of the completely fabricated bullshit narratives they've come up with, I think there's this line in the building where on one, like, it's West Side Story with Gerard Mayo and his people on one side and Bill Belichick and his people. Get the fuck out of here. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Are you kidding me? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Gerard Mayo, by the way, is a Bill Belichick guy. Played for him. He started his coaching career. He hired him. He made him what he is right now. You know, he basically taught him. It's this notion that these two guys don't get along is just absurd.
So it's the Sarks and it's the Jets. And then Belichick gets all the white coaches around and he says, if anyone saw West Side Story, the cop says to the white guys, "You're part of the can't make it Caucasians." And that's what Bill addresses his white coaches.
It's no wonder we have the dumbest fan base in the history of professional sports. It's no wonder when this is what they're listening to. And this is what they're absorbing for information. And most of them actually think Breer knows what he's talking about. They actually believe that Breer and Bedard and these guys have sources, that they're being told this stuff. It is such bullshit.
Their sources are the janitor or something, some disgruntled employee very low on the totem pole. It is no way they talk to anybody.
And again, the fact that they get national prominence on some occasions is what makes not just Patriot fans uninformed, but the entire NFL fandom just accepts this and what they're spoon-fed, and they don't listen to the many I thinks. Like, how do you think that this guy is a guy who is connected to anything when he's making it up literally at the top of his head?
You know, what's the penalty for making stuff up? I mean, like, to go back to that Curran, the decision was made in Germany thing. Like, you know, he's walked it back, but then he hasn't. And I think there'll never be consequences for throwing stuff at the wall and hoping it sticks. So, like, if in the end, Kraft says, Bill, you're fired, that's it. And nobody will remember it. Curran will just can say, I was right, I got it. Because at the end of the day, this is like predicting the apocalypse. All you have to do is be right one time.
There's never been accountability in this profession for the last 25 years since Belichick took over. And even prior to that, there's never been accountability. John Tomasi, you know, he wrote a piece about the Patriots 3 days ago. 3 days ago. They're still allowing him to write about the Patriots. Ben Volen, the whole DM thing. He's still writing about the Patriots. He's still shitting on them. Nothing has changed. Like, if they're in a profession with no accountability, there's no penalty. There's no repercussions for them making things up, whether they get caught or not. There's just never any accountability. So there's no downside to it. So why not? Why not keep throwing shit at the wall?
It's more fascinating when you do get consequences. Like, I keep racking my brains out. Like, it's really funny that Bert Breer is not allowed in Foxborough anymore. But I keep racking my brains out. Like, how did you fuck this up? What did you say? Were you the one that kept pestering Bill about a change in the quarterback position, or was that Girardi? How did you lose that job in a world where there's no consequences?
How is he the only one? That's what I want to know. Like, how is he the only one that's been booted out of Foxborough Stadium?
And why do we still have to deal with him? Why can't he go away? There's other teams. Cover the other teams. Leave us alone.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. Like, why can't any of these people cover other teams? Well, you know what? Maybe, you know, I guess the only silver lining to Belichick possibly being either let go, traded, whatever, is that these guys are going to get theirs, and it's going to be glorious. I know that they are. And one last clip, because again, I said it was a hell of a week. It's been a hell of a week. Tommy Curran today, right after the game, he wants Bill Belichick to be a media member just to, you know, just to see if he's got it, just to see if he's still, you know, is he still at his wit's end?
Look at CBS or NBC or Fox. At Fox, you have the opportunity to work with Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski. At NBC, you have the opportunity to work with Devin McCourty or Rodney Harrison. At CBS, they're going to perhaps wipe out all of their older folks who've been there for a long time because they have expiring contracts. Cower, Phil Sims, Bill Jim Sims, Brown,
yep.
James Brown. So there would be opportunities.
You got J.J. Watt there now. You got Nate Burleson.
You go there. Generation. You yep. catch your breath. You bounce your grandchildren on your knees for a while. You show what a great communicator you are. You show how sharp you still are, which he unbelievably is. And then you don't have to rush in to go coach the Panthers or the Bears or the Chargers. You don't have to squish this staff together in 3 weeks and be ready to go someplace else. You don't have to get into a pissing contest with the Krafts. To me, television for 1 year, 72 ain't what 72 used to be.
So, yeah, television, that's what he should do now, because for 24 years, all the media like to do is complain about how boring he is. They love to complain about what he doesn't give any good information, that he's drawings too much, that he, you know, he snorts. But that's what they want now. They want him on television. It's
24 years, it's two clips ago, Curran right. was saying what an asshole he is, and you know how he's just kind of lost it and the media hates him and he's just such an unlikable sack of shit. Now he's like, 5 minutes later, he should be on the set on CBS on the NFL Today. Like, make up your mind, Tom.
I think Bill is, whether, I mean, like, I think he's personable, like, in a non-professional environment. But, you know, I feel like.
Oh, maybe, and he absolutely, and yeah, he absolutely, when he was on a College Game Day the other day,
yeah,
the other week, he was fabulous. So, yeah.
He Yeah, he, on the NFL Top 100. I think he – didn't he win an Emmy? Yeah. A sports Emmy for that? Yeah. He was great on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He won – I can't believe Belichick won a fucking Emmy. I can't believe he won a fucking Emmy.
Ed Curran and none of these other assholes have ever won one, by the way.
Exactly. Oh. That's a great point. That's probably why they're so mad.
I think we stumbled on to what to where this personal hatred comes from. They're jealous because he's got an Emmy on his wall that he probably forgot he even like has.
He probably doesn't even know it. It's so great. Oh gosh,
he doesn't even know what the hell it are. Is. they're all like dying to win one. He's got one sitting up there. He's like, what is that?
It's like the AFC championship trophy. He's like, remember when he just throws it away? He's like, whatever.
That's exactly what he did when he got the Emmy. He beat out Modern Family. He beat out Ty Burrell. And I mean, that's great. Thank you. No, I mean, I think that, you know, I just think Bill is a very personable person outside of a professional environment. And I don't know what's the problem, really, if you don't ask a stupid question. And I think deep down, these guys know they're asking stupid questions. Like, they're asking the wrong questions. They're trying to elicit a reaction, you know? I mean, Robert Sala isn't going to lose his job because he gave them their pound of flesh and Zach Wilson. Sean McDermott probably won't lose his job because he gave them their pound of flesh in Ken Dorsey. There was an air of theatrics and throwing people under the bus that these guys love. And I don't think Bill's ever done that. I don't think Bill has ever thrown a coach under the bus before. Am I wrong? Is there anyone that's – I just don't see it. And Curran being like, this guy is an asshole. And, you know, he's like, he's an asshole to you because you're a fucking idiot. You know, and you think you know more than you did. I'm sure if you asked him a – honest question for once in your life, you'd be surprised. I'm sorry, Rob, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say the only coach I can think of that he's really – the only two that I can think of that he's really canned were Dave DeGuglielmo, the offensive line coach, after that 2015 season, and then Matt Patricia last year. But was his contract up? I think his contract was up.
His contract was up, but I think he wanted to keep him as the offensive coordinator. And I think – and, like, listen, I understand. Now, this is where I'm going to be really a Belichick apologist. I think they probably should have kept him because he minimized the damage the offense could have done better than O'Brien.
We don't know what's going on, so.
That's true. I mean, there was. But I think that wasn't a report. I'm not making that up. I didn't make that up out of thin air. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I'm usually wrong about these things. But I don't know. I don't think he canned Guglielmo. I think he did. He did can Patricia. I don't think he canned him. I think again he was an in-house solution for continuity, and he was getting two checks at the time from the Lions, so it was kind of a cost-effective way thing. I'm not trying to say Bill's cheap, but I think that was partially the reason. But, you know, hey, that's old news and whatever. Josh McDaniels is coming back, though, so that's another one that's going to come back. But I like him, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a week. And those were just some of the clips that I could find that were just absolutely unbelievable. But, oh, and by the way, I want to go back to that clip of Curran talking about Belichick won't be able to. Well, he'll be relate more to 32-year-olds rather than 22-year-olds, which is a weird, you know, caveat. But just today, you have guys like Jabril Peppers and Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott is older, but you have Jabril Peppers saying that they're disappointed that they didn't give enough of an effort. I mean, he did, but as a collective, as a team, they're disappointed that they didn't give much of an effort this season, and they're disappointed that they didn't give an effort for Bill Belichick. And so for all these people who are like, oh, Bill Belichick doesn't relate to players. He's not like the player. Just look at these guys. These guys, you know, Zeke Elliott, a veteran in the league, played a while, has been at the top of his game, comes to New England, plays reasonably well. I would love to have him back on the team next season. But for people who say, oh, Belichick can't relate to players. Those are two guys who are veteran guys who, yeah, maybe the rookies, maybe no, you can't relate to rookies, quote unquote, but who can relate to these kids? I mean, these kids do things totally different. And, you know, plus there are a lot of these younger coaches who, like you said, Vinny, Sean McVay, Nick Sirianni, you know, the Coach Drip, you know, all these guys who seemingly relate to them, but they're not having as much success in the last few years as Bill Belichick is.
They're related to them because they're winning. And what's going to happen when they don't win? Do you think that that Mike McDaniel, if he had a losing streak that Bill had, he can still command the respect of that locker room? I'm sorry for interjecting, but that really has been eating at me. I don't think Mike McDaniel actually does have the respect of that locker room. I think it's just easier to captain a ship when it's all, you know, good times and no adversity.
Before we go, I just want to give a salute to the captain, Matthew Slater. It's been rumored this entire season that it's going to be his last season, and I think it's been pretty much confirmed by everyone, I guess, but him, and maybe him in some aspect. I mean, it's not official, but he's been very reminiscent, very emotional, and, you know, just thankful. And I just want to thank Matthew Slater for being, you know, I just want to thank him for being a consummate professional at every turn. And, you know, he's a Patriots institution, and he's just what a football player should be. And there are idiot fans out there who say, oh, well, why is he your wide receiver? Oh, special teams don't matter. You know, Herb Goddard says stuff like that. I think as he's gotten older, obviously he was at peak Slater, but really, the last couple of years, I believe he finished second on the team in special teams tackles last season. So, and 21st in the NFL. That was last season. So, to me, he still had stuff in the tank, and clearly he was valued as a leader in that locker room. So, what do you guys think? What are your going to be your memories of Matthew Slater?
Exactly what you said. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, he was just the consummate professional. He was, you know, every time he spoke about any sort of issue that may be outside the realm of football, or, you know, or even what it was about football, when he had a really just eloquent speech to the media about player safety. The guy, when you just watch him interact with people on other teams, say nothing about, I mean, we've all seen the way the Patriots, you know, his teammates with the Patriots have all loved him. He's been the guy that breaks him down in the locker room. He's been the leader on the team. But I mean, even today, there were Jets players that were taking pictures with him. Some of them were in tears, you know, like he's exactly the kind of guy you want in your locker room. And he has been for years and years and years. He's just a natural born leader. And I think the Patriots are going to miss him. I think they're going to miss him a lot. I think that type of leader is almost impossible to replace because they don't come around very often. In a locker room that had Tom Brady, that had Dante Hightower, that had Devin McCourty, that had all these guys, it was Matthew Slater who kind of rose to the top as really that sort of locker room presence after Willie McGinnis left, you know. So sure, obviously a Patriots Hall of Famer, I think first ballot NFL Hall of Famer, and I just hope he gets the respect nationally that he deserves.
I don't really have a specific memory of a Slater. I just remember, like, you know, him being this anchor to the special teams unit and always being a model citizen. You know, I know nobody cares about my Twitter account, but I just said something because I thought of it. I would have loved to have Matthew Slater's life to be this professional talent, have this respect of your peers, and by all accounts, a great family life. And I am envious of him, because if I was fortunate enough, like if I ever did have a son, I would love for my son to grow up to be like Matthew Slater. And, you know, that's it. I have nothing else to say. I hope he finds happiness in retirement, because God knows I'm going to miss him. I think we're all going to miss him. You know?
Absolutely. And he's had a blank ton of starts, a shit ton of starts, over, I believe, 200 plus. So if he isn't the best special teamer, period, of all time, because he's passed Steve Tasker, I believe, as far as special teams honors, then he deserves to be there. So well done. Great career, Matthew Slater. We appreciate you. And we love you. Now, that's it for Entitled Weekend, and that's it for the season. It's been a crummy one, no doubt about that. It's been, but there's been way more gaslighting than there's been really production on the season. So I'm pretty sure that's going to continue throughout the off season, which is now here. Can't believe I'm saying that, but it's true. But the draft is going to be coming soon. And the Patriots have the number 3 pick, and that's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I'll be honest with you, if Bill Belichick is not there making that pick, I'm going to be a lot less interested in it, because whoever else is there is going to have not only are they going to have major shoes to fill, but they're going to have a lot of work to do as far as improving this team. They'll have cushions as far as, you know, the salary cap and the picks, but they're not going to be able to match the leadership that Coach Bill Belichick has. So I hope it's not true, but we'll definitely do another show definitely honoring him if that is the case, because he deserves nothing less. So until that time, you can follow Rob at Hoodie Supremus. You can follow Vinny at Sailboat Studios. You can follow me at AtomicDog5150 and at Entitled Weekend on Elon Musk's social media network. You can email us at entitledweekend@gmail.com. And until next time, how do we feel about Matthew Slater retiring? Not well.
No matter what, in this league, when you take the field against someone and you come out victorious, that's something to be thankful for. In order for you to be thankful, to give thanks, you got to have the proper perspective. We talked about it last night. One thing I saw in you guys this week that I really appreciate a ton was the purpose and the resolve that everybody had in this room. And I'm certainly thankful to be a part of a group like that. Let's keep fighting. Let's keep believing. Let's keep leaning on one another. I never take for granted the opportunity to be in this circle with you, man. Love you guys, man. I got two things that I'm feeling kind of about. Number one, my man. Number two, all-time passing. That's big, big, big. We got a hat. We got a tee. But we're never going to take it for granted, though, man. It's not easy. Nobody gave it to us, man. It feels great. Yes, sir. To come down here, we'll take that shit out, all right? But I tell you one thing, a moment that I am enjoying right now is the fact that we come on down here to New York and put the goose egg on them. I got a question for you. I think I know the answer. But, you know, I always got to ask, how do we feel about a Sunday night victory in Foxborough?
And how do we feel about winning 300?
How do we feel about our first victory
Monday?
About being 2019 AFC East champs? Oh!